Thanks, Judy. Yay, Judy, for helping with everything. Yay! And Kathy. Yeah. Okay. So here we are. The last morning. I was just talking to Loren about how when we used to go to Mount Madonna and we started there, I guess in the year 2000 or around there, and we were reminiscing about that we'd leave on Sunday and the schlep of it was, it didn't actually feel like a schlep. Now it feels like a schlep looking back on it. But it felt like a journey with Menno and Jane and Loren and me in a big van. It was quite fun, really, really fun. And then it was a week. It was from Monday to Sunday being on retreat. And that, we were saying, is a different era. It was a different era. It was a gorgeous era. And this is a gorgeous era, too. This retreat has been, I'd like to hear how it's been for you. I like to hear how it's been. I know how it's been for me. And I am part of this whole field. So I'm just trying to listen for the notification from whoever gives me notification about the best way to proceed this morning from the... I usually know what I'm supposed to do when the words start coming out of my mouth and not really clear before then about the order or the progression. I'm always clear about the flow and the energy and what it feels like in the room, but always sort of surprised at what comes out of my mouth because I don't really plan it. So in this moment, let's sit for just a few minutes, just arrive and arrive and arrive. Feeling your feet on the floor. Your butt in the chair. Sensing this physical vehicle. The body-mind unit here, which isn't you. It's what you have, it's not who you are. And if you feel to putting your index finger and middle finger on the still point in the center of your heart. Oh, and just taking some breaths. Belly breath all the way out. Up, 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 up. And then out through your mouth. Up, big belly breath, and up through your chest and through your nose. And out through your mouth. One more time. Up, up, up. And then out through your mouth. Just allowing yourself now to drop from your mind into your heart. To rest and relax and allow. To just be with what's here, be with what is. Notice if the mind is busy wobbling, warbling, running, shrieking, whatever it's doing, that's fine. No problem, not personal. The mind does what the mind does, and you have nothing to do with it. You are not your mind. So, I'd like to hear what you are so-called taking, what you've received here. I was going to say what you've taking away with you that you didn't come in with, some kind of insight, understanding, feeling, knowledge, and we're going to go around the room. So I'm not going to wait for you to raise your hand. I'm just going to call on you. Lisa, you want to go first? Okay, good. Okay, Miss J.
The main thing for me this time, and it's been gorgeous and beautiful and wonderful for me, thank you, so impactful, is just being back in my body and remembering that I love to be present with food and slow down and be in community.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. So what you're taking, what you saw, what you appreciate also would be good. All right.
Okay.
Amy.
For me, it's I'm taking away noticing what's right rather than what's wrong. And then also this what it's like, the freedom I can have, I will have, as I'm shedding my conclusions. So I got the feel of that, the glimpse of that, the what that could be like. So I'm very excited.
Good.
So I think I got a much clearer sense of the inner landscape, like the cable from mind to heart, to the center of the body, it became a lot clearer. I feel that I like weeded the field. And I'm also, I think that I'm going to carry forward with a lot more centeredness, being a lot less like shaky when it comes to decisions or what I want moving forward.
Thank you. Grace.
I think the power of being slow, taking time to do anything, not being on that fast, must do it now, should be doing something else.
Right.
You didn't finish that, go and do that, go and do something else. So yeah, that is amazing to be reminded of that. And how to realize how quickly I diminish myself, how I go small.
Yes, good, good, good. Thank you. So, Leslie.
Okay, so the biggest takeaway is the six steps, because something definitely came up really big during the first lunch, and we talked about it, the fear thing, and I couldn't put my finger on where it came from, but that process brought me right there. And so I'm very grateful to see that. And I really want to give it a shot. I really want to dive into this as a possible way for freedom for myself, because that's all I want.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Rona?
I'm very grateful. This felt like a resolution to basically the entire first part of my life, where I didn't ever know if I was going to be able to overcome this. And I've seen what my fear was around hunger. And I now see the attachment that I had with pleasure. And I saw my self-worth around not enough, and I'm not enough, and my life is not enough. And having had this moment of vision of being in a different energetic space, like that, those years of questioning are over. And I know that there's a retreat high, but also I'm like, I know for certain there's like a new body wisdom that is now instilled in me that I've been trying to do for like 15 years.
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rona.
Thank you.
Nancy?
So I am coming away with...
A little louder.
I'm coming away with acceptance and excitement. Had a profound experience with a toddler in the elevator. He was with his mother, and we arrived. He was like, we're going up, and... We arrived at the floor, and I said to him, and now we're here. And he goes, and now we're here. And he was so excited, and he scuttled away. And I was like, oh, my gosh, now I'm here. So what am I going to do with this fabulous new information? So I'm just, that's where I'm at. I feel like I have really good tools that have been shared with me, and I have to be willing to say I'm here and I'm going to use them.
Thank you, Nancy. Nicole?
Gratitude for having been able to spend 3 days here at this beautiful place with all these beautiful people. Had a very important... learning experience, I think the six steps process that we went through about how I'm confident there's certainly more shit to work through, but I a lot of clarity about the pervasiveness of this worthlessness that I carry, that my feeling of worthlessness and how that has permeated everything in my life, and being for the first time really seeing where that came from, and understanding what I need to, what I can and will do with that going forward.
Thank you, Nicole.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Leslie.
Thank you. I got in touch and am taking with me the deep sadness from my childhood. I was able to feel what's been below the fear, and it helped me to see a deeper conclusion that I'll end up alone, and seeing that I'm never alone. Love and boundless love is always with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Joyce. Well, certainly the two processes. Other than a 10-day sitting meditation retreat where I was required to pause and eat, is still very different than sitting at lunch and experiencing the panic I felt, like feeling like food has to stop, I have to let it go and pause. So I'm really grateful for that process, actually sitting in that. And the process around looking at my triggers and just letting them drop down and peel back what's there. Mm. I'm so grateful for that. But mostly, you, the team that you've brought and surrounded us with, both Kathy, I was in a small group with her, and how authentic she presented herself. Judy has been so supportive. I got just a flavor of Lorraine last Saturday, and I'm sorry I don't remember the yoga teacher, but she was just beautiful and so transparent, and you presented yourself in so many beautiful ways as this woman who has experienced the pain that I felt, and I'm sure all of us have, and you've walked through it, and still you step into this glorious place, and you get guidance, I am sure, from your teachers, and you share that with all of us. And you still come with beautiful pink socks, and I'm just so grateful at your beauty and your willingness to share this with all of us. So thank you for creating this a beautiful, sacred space for transformation. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I got in touch yesterday during the six steps with where I thought I was not capable. And now I see I was put in a position at too young of an age to be in charge. And it was the first time I put that together.
Mm, beautiful.
And it, I think it'll help a lot of ways.
Thank you, Cheryl. Jessica.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow. I realized in the eating meditations that what comes up for me around food is this panic over whether the permitter or the restrictor is going to show up, and this sort of urgency to eat quickly before the restrictor shows up, and how it's just that sort of piece is related to how I abandon myself over and over again, and that there's a choice between the restrictor showing up and the permitter showing up, which is me trusting that I won't abandon myself and that I can do the eating guidelines. And it relates to also that sort of thing that I brought up the other day about sort of my lack of willingness. I was feeling, well, why do I have to do this? I could just do OA. I could just do three meals and two snacks, and then I don't have to worry about how hungry I am and the permitter and the restrictor. And then somehow I realized, well, I've been trying that for 50 years, and it hasn't worked. And somehow I had to be here to be reminded that what I've been doing for 50 years doesn't work. So thank you.
good to see that what we've been doing for 50 years. But Jessica, I'm going to add one thing to what you said, and that is underneath all that permitter, restrictor, allowed, is some kind of conclusion of I'm not allowed to have. I there's something underneath all that. And that's what the work we're doing is actually about. It's not about the dealing with the problem on the level of the problem at all. Most things do deal with that, the level of the problem. My gorgeous assistant is in FA, and I watch her weigh and measure every single piece of food she eats. And, you know, she's been working with me now for 10, 12 years, I don't. And, I, you know, when she ever asks me a question, I'll say to her, well, what do you really believe? I'm an addict, and addicts can't. And I basically say, okay. But it's not, and that's fine, and it's work for her and her relationship and her kids, and it saved her life. She lost maybe 75, 100 pounds, saved her marriage, and still believes that her hunger is bottomless. And that's fine with her. She's fine believing that for the rest of her life. It's not something I would be fine with. She asks me a lot of questions. I answer them. And she says, no, I can't do that. And it's like, okay. So I think to know that we're dealing with what's underneath there, we're really looking at the cause. The cause. What is it that you believe about yourself? When push comes to shove, when if you were like a lottery ticket and you just scratched away the top layers, what would be there? What would get revealed? I used to believe that damage, that, you know, the fact that I was damaged and a mess. And that was a conclusion. What I didn't see was that that was a conclusion. That wasn't true. But I was so scared that it was, that I never really could get to, okay, what is underneath there? What is that? So I just want to really keep saying to all of you, when you think you've reached the end, it's not the end. It's endless. And I also want to say one thing. I was thinking about what I said to you yesterday, Grace, about when you said you got to, I'm weak. And I was weak, and you said, okay, I did it. And I said, now do it 499 more times. Yes. And really, at any moment, anything can pop. So I don't want to set it up that you have to do this 500 times, because the truth is always available in every moment. It's simply because we have obscured it with our beliefs that are not true. And so, not the time right now. We've obscured it, but it's there, and it's available, and it can be revealed at any moment. Okay, Lauren, your turn. All the way into the mic.
Yeah, good. Okay, so I love being in this community. It feels like home to me. Of course, I love you, Janine. And the work, you know, has saved my life, as you know. And then each time I come, there's some new nugget, like you say. You know, you could do this process 100 or 500 times, and I learn something each time, or I don't want to say I know it more, but it's like seeping into my being. And when I like touch that bigness that I have, that I am, I want to keep doing it. I want it more, like I want to be more present and
yes,
keep going back. So what I'm taking away this time is that when I have the fears of things that happen, this work is available to let that go.
Yes, beautiful. There's always something to put your attention on that will unwind whatever it is. Thanks, Lauren. Angie.
What I have noticed this time is just this new sense of openness and willingness to go deeper. And I think, and this eagerness to continue when I get home, because now I have no excuses. I have no excuses. And I'm just really looking forward to that. And I've enjoyed just basking in that. I have never felt this just free. So, I mean, I'm just really excited about that. So thank you.
Thanks, Angie.
Hi, Janine. This weekend for me has been just really like a practice weekend of noticing my patterns with the unavoidable conclusion work, and also that allowing word that you brought up at the beginning of the retreat, and not making a big deal out of, oh my God, there's the pattern again for the 100th time. That feels like the newer piece for me of
yes.
relaxing with the noticing.
Yes, that's good. Because, oh my God, there it is again, is also the pattern.
Yeah.
So there are two patterns there that you've mm-hmm. noticed. There's the, I did it wrong, I should have taken the thing on the buffet instead mm-hmm. of what I took, I did it wrong. But that's one pattern. I did it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pattern. The other one is, oh my God, here it is. The judgment of here it is again.
Yeah.
That's another pattern. Two yeah. patterns there.
Yep, I see that.
And if you can, all of you, see through the thought, see in the space between the thoughts, and really get it that you're throwing these things up, that the mind is, I shouldn't say you are, and you don't need to take them seriously. They're not personal. They don't mean a thing. I do want to say this, and this is kind of an outrageous thing to say, but nothing means anything. Nothing means anything. It doesn't, because everything comes to pass. It all changes. What's good one day is bad the next day. What's bad one day is good the next day. What's good when you're 20 years old is bad. I'm using good and bad in a colloquial sense here. Bad another time. Nothing means anything. We love giving things meaning. We are meaning givers, and it means nothing. That I wrote, 9,000 million books means nothing. It was what happened. It was what came. It was what arose. But then I gave it meaning. Then the whole culture gives it meaning. She wrote a book. She wrote another book. She was on Oprah. She wasn't on Oprah. The book was on the Times bestseller. The book wasn't on the Times bestseller list. That's just imposed on what is. What happened, what was natural. The writing was natural. It's what this vehicle does, because it can't help itself. Because that's what happens. There's all these, ideas of achievement, of value, of, well, if I write, this book or that book, but who cares? Getting up in the morning is just as valuable as writing a New York Times bestseller. It's just as, beautiful as anything. There's no difference between, getting a Nobel Peace Prize and smelling a daisy. Equal. And the more meaning you give and the more value you give to what the culture values, the more enslaved you will be to the cultural reality, which is, as I've said a couple of times, a total shit show. And so don't get involved in the shit show. I know that's easy to say and it takes a while. Sometimes if I go through a month of not writing, it's like, oh, I haven't written, something's the matter, I've got to keep up, I'm this and that. And then I realize, making my matcha latte in the morning is, you know, as good as writing a book. No difference, no meaning. It's only the meaning the culture attaches to it. And the same with, you know, being at a certain body size. It's what I started the retreat with, I'm going to keep track of the time because we have to be out of here at noon, right? Is that true? More or less, Judy says. We never really are out at the time we're supposed to be out, so a little here, a little there, all good. What I started with was about the GLP-1 drugs and belly fat and my friend losing her belly fat and me getting off the phone and thinking, oh, I have to lose belly fat too. Because would I like to? Yeah, but what then would it mean if I fit into the cultural mold? And of course, at 74 years old, which I am, now, according to clock time, there really isn't an ideal. I've written to the skincare company that I really like and I've been using for 20 years, and they, beauty at any age, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Am I invisible? So then I've written to them three times. Hello, there are those of us who are, you know, past that. How about addressing that? No, I don't even get a response from them. Because after a certain age, there is no cultural ideal. There is no value of it. The bottom line to what I just said, do what you love. Do what you love. And I can hear you, but if I only did what I love, then I'd never blah, blah, blah. Nah, that's probably not true. But you won't find that out if you are enslaved to doing what you think you have to do in order to be acceptable. It's radical to let go of what you think you have to do. And I'm not talking about so you don't go to your job. And I mean, maybe you don't go to your job. Maybe you change jobs. I don't know what that means. I know that it's a practice that I live with day after day after day after day. Doing what comes through here. Doing what I love. And noticing that, okay, now I'm writing. That's what's happening now. Writing is happening. And particularly with a new book coming out, which I wasn't sure was ever going to happen, I noticed there's energy and movement to work with what it takes to have a new book come out and have people actually know a new book has come out, because I just kind of fell off the grid of doing whatever people are supposed to do to have people know that they have a new book coming out. I just was like, nah, I just want to write. So I noticed there's some energy and I'll do certain things and I won't do other things. I won't go on a book tour because I don't like traveling anymore. I just don't like it. And so I won't do it. I will go to New York. Well, Maui doesn't really count. I don't count Maui as traveling, although once I get there, I'm like, oh, what day is it? What time is it? It almost takes me a week to get, you know, back and forth from Maui before I get on the, get with the program. But yes, Maui. Maui. Maui and New York to see my mother or to be on the Today Show. I don't know if you all... Did you all see Marry Me years ago with Jennifer Lopez and Owen Wilson? And Owen Wilson says, no, you've got to move the Today Show. I have to go pick up my dog, Tank, in Brooklyn. And Melissa, I watched this recently, and Melissa says to him, she goes like this, "We don't move the Today Show. You move for the Today Show." And so would I go to New York for the Today Show? Yeah, I would. I'm going to do what it takes within this body's limits for people to know about this book because it is a great book. I love it. And at this point, it doesn't feel like it has anything to do with me. It exists as its own shower of whatever. But I still notice what I'm willing to do and want to do. And what I want to say no to doing, I will say no to doing. Because if nobody knows about the book, I still wrote a great book that nobody knows about. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a great book, in my humble opinion. And Annie Lamott, who wrote the foreword again, which is great. Okay. Julie.
Okay. I am taking away the allowing, opening up. I love the conclusion work I always have, but I think I want to focus on it a little more, like have it be more part of my daily or weekly practice.
Or hourly.
Or hourly. I don't want to make any, you know. but the allowing, I really noticed that I am in my own way, and it's time. It's time to step out of my own way and see what I can do. And some of it is art making, and I had an art teacher say to me, if you're going to make this painting and you bury it in the ground, would you still make the painting? So it's the same kind of thing you're saying is, you know, it could still be a great painting whether anybody sees it or not. So it's not about that. So I want to see what I can do.
Good. Thank you. Because as I reminded you the other day, and I've said probably even in my first book, the process is the goal. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. It's about the love. It's always about the love. Rachel.
Hi. I'm I was really surprised to hear you say that in 3 bites I can assuage my hunger. And I was like, wow, really? I didn't know that. So I've been experimenting. So most of my meals since arrival I've been experimenting, and that's really what I wanted to do was refresh and reboot. Like, this is good, and this is information that I know that I have, but I forgot. And I'm curious about why I've forgotten it and how I get in my own way. But mostly, I'm just really joyful most of the time. I just am having a really good time being here these days. So,
thanks for the Rachel.
Yeah, thanks for the playground. I really enjoyed it. And I love your pink socks and my sparkle sister.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
So I haven't been in person since pre-COVID. So it was just so nice to be in person. I was a little skeptical because it wasn't a retreat center. It's a hotel. So I knew it was going to be different, and it has been a bit different, but it's been great. It's been amazing. I've been much more relaxed. I just loved seeing people and being with the community. What a new thing I'm taking away is I have been working with the 6 steps, but recognizing patterns. I never thought about that before, and that brings it to another level, seeing my patterns.
Yes, right. That is a good level to bring this to.
Yeah, so different level, and
Thank you. Jacqueline.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
As I'm going around, my heart's just going, blah, 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 so I have to speak out loud. So I have the mic. I came here for kindness, and I realized that the unavoidable conclusions have smothered me into being really critical of what I'm doing. And what I'm doing is amazing, what I'm doing, but I don't see the amazement of my life with my husband and all the things that I do. I see all the things I don't do, and for myself, especially not doing for myself. So being away, and I've been away for these 3 days, and allowed other people to step in. It wasn't a catastrophe. There was no water that we had to boil. They had to boil, so it was that. But it's life, and life is going to keep coming. And I just have to remember that the patterns, as you mentioned, of where I go, and to just really stop and say, I love you. Like, because I never, as a child, ever had those words said to me, so they're very, like a foreign language, and they don't, even when they're said to me, I don't really quite accept them. But if I can just stop and put my hand on my heart and just be with me in those moments, that's the kindness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you.
For me, it's definitely the six steps and realizing the need to practice them in a range of situations. So yesterday with the visioning, I picked a more, I think, emotionally charged and very close to my core belief about myself, and I was feeling conflicted. So then last night and this morning, I worked through some less emotionally charged, and when I got to the sixth step, I just had like this sense of clarity and almost peace. So I really think this will be a natural extension of some other practices and moving, giving me agency. The self-compassion practices are helpful, but I think this takes it beyond that in seeing the truth and having agency in that.
Thank you.
I recognize that I have a tendency toward extremes, extreme opposites, and the middle ground is much more tricky to find. Extremes are very clear-cut, and I know where they are, but the middle ground, it's more tricky. It has a lot of shades of gray, basically. And I kind of recognize that the clue is in my hips. This came out of the first yoga class. So that's what I'm taking with me, exploring the middle ground.
Thanks, Arzu. Kim?
So this is my first retreat, and the phone call last Saturday, you asked us what we were scared of with the steps, you know, what each step or each guideline, and the thing that came up was that with my growing into my spirituality, will I be leaving my mate behind? And that relationship, I got real scared of where would that be. Anyway, that started the retreat. Then I get here, and you know, this congestion thing comes up, and I'm separated from the group, and I think, oh my gosh, I've missed something. So I'm saying, it's okay, I'm getting exactly what I need with everything happening. With that said, the six steps that you gave us, or first of all, in the guidelines, when you added, ask your body what you want, or what it wants, not what you want, that helped me tremendously, so I'm taking that with me. And then with the six steps, I worked through my feelings with my husband. And what I got was, when I don't feel connected to him, it's a past thing from my childhood, and I'm giving that up. And I realize that the love is all coming from within me, the spirit, the being, the me at the core is what I'm also taking. It just got real solidified in that exercise. So I'm taking that with me as well. And I'm just incredibly grateful for all of it. And I'm looking forward to the audio of the things I did miss so I can add to it as well.
Thanks, Kim. Kathy?
I am grateful for the space to strengthen the muscle of naming my patterns and naming the unavoidable conclusions, the core wounds, so that I keep experiencing that that's not who I am. And that's huge for me. And also, thank you so much for explaining the place of letting go of the wounded identity that's underneath that is where abundant joy lives, because I don't know that in my cells yet. And when you said that, it's like, oh, that's what I need. I need joy lessons, you know. So thank you. So grateful to be here.
Really, what we're talking about is you, a constant remembrance daily, moment to moment remembrance of what needs to be remembered. I don't think there's ever a moment of any day where I'm not aware of my mind. Not a moment. Goes by. Where if I'm feeling any kind of discomfort or agitation, suffering certainly, but anything, I'm on it immediately. I said this last night or yesterday, I'll say it again. This is all about remembering what needs to be remembered for you to come home to yourself. And does it take attention? Yes. And what you pay attention to grows. So if you pay attention to this, your sense of expansiveness and clarity and freedom and ease will grow. You know, we're here to play. We're here to have a good time. We're here with these physical vehicles and to just allow what's here to have some understanding about when we are resisting. Again, you see the world as you are, period. What you're seeing is what you're projecting. That's all you're seeing, your own projection. Everywhere, over and over and over again. There is no external world. It's not separate from you. There is no external world. You're seeing your projection. I think the sooner we all understand that, the more ease we'll feel. And the more you resist that, the more you suffer. The more you say, as I was saying to Rachel, oh God, not this again, the more suffering there is. So you want to stop suffering? Yeah. Stop resisting what's here. Allow it. It's come to pass. It's come to pass. It will pass if you don't resist it. If you do resist it, you make it solid and it sticks around. Because the very fact that you're resisting it means that it's something for you to resist. So it becomes something because you're resisting it. If you, oh, here it is again, okay, I know what this is. And that's the very quick laser version of the six steps, which you can use, but only if you've been through that particular conclusion many, many times, because if you're going to bypass and do what I'm just about to say, then you're bypassing and nothing changes. But eventually, after doing the six steps, you know, I've probably done the six steps, I don't even know how many times I've done the six steps, 1,000 times, 5,000 times. But now when a familiar conclusion that I have worked through and approached at countless angles comes up, and I'll say, because it's true, I know what this is. I am not this. I am that in which this is arising and passing away. But it took and takes going into that, through that many times, before you can say with truth, I know what this is. It's my, I'm damaged. It's my, I don't have enough. On the other hand, as I've said to you a couple of times in the last couple of days, sometimes new levels of conclusions come up in surprising ways, like what I called the heartbreak of being out of control for me, because I'm very good at controlling or believing I can control things. I don't think there's actually anything I've ever controlled, ever. But the belief that I've been able to control things. I mean, Matt is a great example of me not being able to control, because he is utterly uninfluenced by what I tell him to eat and not eat. Totally uninfluenced. He just doesn't care. It's just, I've told a lot of you this, you know, he'll often say, go tell it to somebody who's paying you. Go write it up in a book. He just does what he wants to do, and that's that. And, you know, this is a man that I've been with since 1986. And not that I don't influence him. My very being influences him. We are woven. Our beings are woven together, but I don't control. I can't control him. I tell him, but if you eat this, then this, and the microplastics, and the thises, and the that, and the carrots, and the apples, and the fish, and the, you know, the, I mean, on and on and on. Nope. His friend came to stay with us for a couple of days. I really liked having his friend around. I told you this about the youthfulness, and I said to his friend, you know, why don't you just live with us? I need a second husband. And somebody who can actually influence Matt. You've been friendly with him longer than I've known him. Maybe you can do something about it. And we all got a good laugh out of that. He introduced himself to anybody who came to visit during that time. Hi, I'm Stanley. I'm Janine's second husband. Good. Everybody needs one, is what I have to say. So I've never been able to control anything, least of all, myself. Can I restrict? Yes. Can I get very rigid? Yes. Do I like structure? I do. I really like structure. Matt really doesn't like structure, and I really like it. I just do. It helps organize me. But that can turn into rigidity and control, or believing that I'm in control. And so there's a constant sense of what wants to happen now, what already is happening now, and just learning to go with that. But most of all, watching my mind. Most of all, that's what I do all the time. I call myself out all the time. Here it is again. Here's the pattern. Here it is. And I don't always, you know, it doesn't always unwind, because sometimes I just seems like I want to suffer. Okay. And, you know, wanu in Yiddish, you know, they say geschrei, you know, just beat my, or, you know, the back of the Velcro on the back of my hand to the Velcro on the top of my forehead. Oh, my God. And so I just want to walk around like that for, not for very long. It used to be for days. Now it might be for an hour or two. Till I catch myself, in the old Byron Katie, if I'm suffering, I'm believing something that isn't true. What is it I'm believing? The sooner you catch it, the happier you'll be. So, let's do a closing visualization. The opening is the closing. The beginning is the end, as T.S. Eliot says. And you arrive where you started. Right. Landing in your body. And turning now towards what is falling away. Each of us. And possibly because of something that you saw or that happened here at the retreat, is at a transition point, whether overt or subtle, of something that's falling away. Something's falling away and something's being born. Turn now to that which is falling away, which could be as real as a job or somebody dying or leaving, an attachment that you once had, an identification of being a particular person. It may be someone you've taken yourself to be this whole time that's being shed like a snake sheds its skin. What is it that you're letting go of now? What is it? And within the cave of your heart, honor it. Light a metaphorical candle, a light, and honor that which is dying. Now turn to what is being born. Something that's just emerging. It could be already out of the birth canal. It could be in the process of being born, not quite in the light. It could be you don't even know what it is, but you sense it. And turn towards that, towards what is being born, what is emerging, what is new. And then turn towards that in you that has been there through every beginning and ending in your life. Something has been there that was always there. always. And because it's in the background, we don't usually pay attention to it. It is who you are without your story. It's who you are. As presence itself, as your true nature. And then open your awareness to everybody sitting in this room, to the people who have been on this retreat ride in the last few days with you, who want what you want. What matters to you matters to them. The loveliness of that, the truth community of that. And become aware of all the people whose lives they will touch just simply by being here. And all the lives those people they touch will touch, and all the lives from there. There is great power in the truth, in the frequency of truth and of love, of realness. It is more powerful than anything. It is how we change the world. It is how we create heaven on earth. By being heaven itself. By knowing who you are. The healing we do for ourselves is a healing for everyone we touch and for the planet itself. And so we put out a blessing that the healing we do and did for ourselves in the last few days be what touches the strife and the suffering, the violence, the hunger, the pain, the war. All those who are turning against themselves because they don't know what else to do. Now you do know. You can be that light, your light. And then slowly bringing yourself back to this present moment, to being right here. And when you're here, you can open your eyes. So my only last words, and these are going to be my last words, or near my last words for this moment anyway, is that I want to thank all of you for coming and for staying and for being willing to do this work. It has been really a joy. A friend texted me last night, "How's the retreat going?" And I texted back, It's love upon love. And it's been a blast. And that was my response. And that's how I feel. It is such a joy. So, you all came up with a symbol the first night. Remember, you went out into the field and what, and do you remember what that symbol is? And that's what you can take with you. That's part of what you take with you. I didn't have a symbol, but my word is joyousness. And I can't even remember. I did that in some process quite a while ago. But it still is. That's how it is. Joy. So notice what your symbol is. And don't ever let anybody convince you that you're anything. I don't know if you remember that, well, maybe you didn't, you weren't coming to a workshop then, but I can't remember the song, but it's, how could anyone ever tell you? Do you remember that? You are anything less than beautiful. How could anyone ever tell you? You are less than whole. How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Do you remember? No, let's sing it. How could anyone ever tell you you are anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone ever tell you you are less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Yes. I won't win an Emmy in the Emmys tonight, but you're all connected to my soul, and we're all connected. And every word of that song is true. Every word. Thank you, everybody. It's been a blessing to be with you. Now, some people have asked if if I would sign books. I will. And I will do that now.
Before you do that.
Yes.
Just this is an intuitive thank you from the whole group to you. And I told Janine yesterday that I really realized my word was lucky, and I think we all feel that lucky, because we, you now are, if you haven't been already, connected to this soul. And thank you for this teaching this week, weekend. It's been, I've seen most all of them, and yet again, it's the best ever. So, thank you, Janine, from all of us.
Yeah. Love all around, everybody. Love all around.